and still does, of course, how we can only giving his obeisances so far. The process of creation. And there's a little bit about the process of creation at the end. Lord Brahma gets instruction, and the material, he's infused in. Why is it important to know what the process of creation is? Because Krishna just, he's there. He's there for us when we want him. All we've got to do is call his name, and he's there. Why should we care about how the creation is created? I mean, what's important about that? Is it important? Do we need to know that? Or does Prabhupada want us to know? Why is it important? Yes?
Because we can understand Krishna's greatness.
It helps us understand Krishna's greatness, yeah. Why else? Yes?
Can understand how the opposite works, how it's dissolved and created, and how we can get rid of this created things.
Yeah, because if we understand the process of creation, we're going to understand how things are dismantled or annihilated. Why else? Yes?
So then we can defeat the evolutionists.
Very good. So we can defeat people who think there isn't a process of creation. We have to establish that there is such a thing, because most people think it happens without Krishna, right? Yes.
Cuts out speculation.
Yeah, that is the speculation, that somehow or other, by random, it's all happened. There was a very nice example that Sataputi gave, and it's in a book that we're looking at, where they talk about the infinite number of monkeys typing on an infinite number of typewriters, that they would ultimately type the complete works of William Shakespeare if they were left to their own devices to go on for time immemorial like that. And that's one of the arguments that's used to establish how the process of creation actually takes place. This is what most people think happens and why we're here. Most people think that. But if you actually analyze it, even one, it just doesn't happen. For one monkey to sit there for one lifetime, just to type even two or three letters that make a word, it's pretty unusual. But to think of them typing a complex word, or even a three or four words that make a sense in a phrase, that's impossible. What to speak of a sentence? And then what to speak of a poem? And what to speak of a whole book of plays? It's impossible. It'll never happen. But that's what people think. So this is just one of the many, many ways that this kind of speculation has to be dismantled, because this is what people are actually believing. So it's important to know what the process of creation is, because people don't know what it is and they think it's something very different. So this is actually very important. This is part of, it's not just Prabhupada, it was Vyasadeva's compilation to put the Bhagavatam together and to get into intimate details about, what the 24 elements are, and what is prakriti, and what is kala, what is karma, and how the different elements evolve from one another, from subtle to gross, all these very subtle things people want to know. So it's important. It's important for us to know these things. Prakriti, someone said, to dismantle what is standard or current wisdom. I'll read the verse again. Let me offer my respectful obeisances again and again unto the all auspicious Lord Sri Krishna. The highly intellectual, simply by surrendering unto his lotus feet, are relieved of all attachments to present and future existences, and without difficulty progress towards spiritual existence. This just reminded me of one last thing I want to say. When Prabhupada was sitting in his little eating room there in Vrindavan, you've probably seen it in the Radha-Damodar temple, that room that takes prasadam in, there's a window that looks out over on Rupa Goswami Samadhi, and Prabhupada used to tell us that he would get strength by looking at that Samadhi. That he knew he had a very difficult mission ahead of him, and he'd have to go to the West and preach, but he got great strength from just gazing upon that great Samadhi and getting the mercy of Rupa Goswami. It helped him to preach to all the intellectuals of the West. So, any other points that I want to bring up or mention here? Because it's just a kind of a abandoned view of a very vast topic. Does it mean that we have to jettison our power of thought? If we're going to march towards the Supreme Personality of God and surrender at Him. Does it mean that we give up this process of thinking? Why not?
Broadens our understanding.
Broadens our understanding, right. Why else? Somebody else?
Everything will increase in the self, which is the source of everything. You go towards in your intelligence, everything will increase.
Yeah, your intelligence will increase. What else?
The more you understand, the more you develop attachment to Krishna.
The more you understand, the more you develop attachment. So the goal is to develop, is to be more attached to Krishna. So do we have to think, or do we have to know about all these details?
Krishna says, always think of me.
So if we're always thinking of Krishna, do we have to think about details of the creation, or what the society is like, or you know, how I'm going to raise my children, or...
The gopis don't.
The gopis don't? Yes, they don't.
Yeah. Creation is also Krishna's energy. So if we are thinking and if we can relate it back to Krishna, whatever it is, then it's useful. But if it's just thinking ongoing without any real connection to Krishna, because everything is coming from Him, then it can be a bit useless.
Yes, yeah. Very good. Sometimes Prabhupada would engage devotees in mock debates. You know, one would be the atheist and one would be the theist. And one would say there's no God, it really happens by chance, and the other one would take on the role of the theist and try to sit, prove that there was God. By proof. And one of his so-called proofs was that the sun is always burning, you never see it, and then you naturally want to know where it gets its energy from, or how the worlds are floating, what's the force behind the force, and so on and so forth. Actually, we were at that loft last night, and the question asked was, what are the things you want to know, the most important things you want to know before you die? And some people gave very nice answers. They want to know, what's the root of everything? Who am I? Where am I going? What is God? What's the ultimate force behind everything? So people want to know. They want to know these things. I think Prabhupada starts out one of his books by saying, we look up at the stars at night and we wonder, where they come from? What are they? So God consciousness is ultimately very satisfying to the intellect. And in the ultimate stage, of course, of surrender, there's nothing else. But Krishna, like Manjari was saying, is the gopis, they don't have any other thoughts. But for us who are contaminated, we can see something that Krishna says, that I'm everywhere. Mayatatamidam sarvam. That I'm in everything. So we can see that everything is actually connected to Krishna. And Parvati says, or to Lord Shiva says, Parvati Aradam Sarvisham, Vishnu Aradam Karam, Tasmat Paratanam Devi Tadidam Samarchanam, that things that are part of Krishna, related to Krishna, are more important than Krishna. If we worship those things, like the peacock pan, or the devotees, or the tulsi, if we worship those things, the shoes of the spiritual master, things related to Krishna, they might be our own children, they might be the deities in our home. But that's actually as important, or in that verse it says more important, it's the highest form of worship. The question that Parvati asks, what's the highest form of worship? Vishnu worship. He says, but even greater than the Vishnu worship, Lord Shiva says, is worship things connected with Vishnu or Krishna. Adanadana, sorry, Vishnu, Vishnu, Adanam, Adanam. So in that way we're seeing, like the Paramahansa's vision, is that everything is actually connected to and part of and related to Krishna, has to do with Krishna. And even the material energy is his separated energy. Manavatena sati darbhato. But we don't want it to speculate endlessly on that external nature. But if we see that it's actually related to Krishna, that the bhumir apanalavai, all the elements, that they actually come from Krishna, they're related to Krishna, then we see Krishna everywhere. Krishna says that he preserves that knowledge. Whatever we have, that's preserved. And if we end with this life with 10%, we come back with 11%. Yogakshema yaham yaham. Krishna says, I preserve what they have. So there's no loss, there's no diminution. Whatever we do, it's all to the benefit.
Yes,
Michael, ask a question or say something.
Mm-hmm.
No?
Well, also, I was thinking when you say you pick up again, you go in the seat, Sarah, but does that also not depend on other things, your desires and that? I mean, you can't you muck around for a while. Do you directly pick up?
If one is very offensive and in the name of chanting Hare Krishna is considered the greatest offense, tries to nullify sinful activity, then it's possible that one won't start off with 1% more than one left off with. But there's a general rule, Krishna preserves what cares what you lack and preserves what you have. If you don't, because of weakness, because of the strength of material nature, as Prabhupada says in the 9th chapter, Abhichetsurasha purport, that one may be a weak devotee or be overcome by the, or calls it accidental fall down. There's a difference between accidental and intentional. But generally one, there's no loss or diminution on this path. So the point is to avoid offenses. And then we can come back with what we have. Therefore we recite the offenses. We shouldn't be offensive.
What about this?
Right?
I was thinking also the story where the great devotee came back as a deer for another lifetime.
Yeah.
He was extremely advanced.
So. Right. So we have to suffer, we have to come back temporarily, like Marsh Bharat as a deer. But that was considered an accidental fall down. He had some natural affection. He fell and died when he was thinking of deer, but it was excused. And he became Yagaraj. He became a great sage like two lifetimes later. It could happen. So Krishna's always giving us a chance. Always giving us a chance. Anyone else? Jai Shiva? Hello? So are we ready to become mad? And have your Krishna? And declare everyone else is mad?
Partial.
Huh?
Partial.
What's that mean?
Partial mad.
Oh, partially, yeah. You can become partially mad.
But completely mad.
Okay. 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 Okay